welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Variety in this hour from one of the popular variety shows of the era. It's Fred Allen's Town Hall Tonight. At the time of this episode, it was part of NBC's Wednesday night lineup at 9 o'clock, with just a shade better than 18 million people tuned in to the NBC Red Network on June 22, 1938.
Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty. Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New features, new music, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Crowd cheer Fred Allen as he leads his weekly parade to the Old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with a fishing rod, followed by those cast-offs of the drama, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join the merry throng, folks. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here they come. Picket.
You're picketing in front of the wrong store, mister.
I know, lady, but this joint's got a radio, and it's Town Hall tonight.
Billy.
Nice going, Ma. Just heard you shot Mrs. Hatfield.
Had to, Pa. Caught her drawing a beat on a radio, and it's Town Hall tonight.
Chess players.
Well, Professor, I'm waiting for your next move.
And my next move to the radio, Doctor. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, sir, here we are inside the Old Town Hall, and Peter's opening the show with My Margarita. Swing it, Peter.
My Margarita, I'm so romantic, but Margarita, you drive me frantic. My Margarita, you could be tender, but Senorita, you won't surrender.
On my guitar so lightly, I play nightly, in the bright moonlight, though every star up above you knows I love you, I can never make you mine.
Oh, Margarita,
when stars are fading, beneath your window, I'm serenading.
Where romance is, when it dances, but whenever we're together, you're as fickle as the weather when you kiss and run away.
Presenting that giggling guppy, generating gargantuan guffaws, gabbing galvanic gossip, a groaning gingery gaga, Gad, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I certainly didn't expect to be called on. I've only got 67 pages of script here. I didn't expect to be prepared. Well, it's a balmy summer's evening, and a goodly crowd is here. So this is the first time the program ever has been the semi-final to a big fight, isn't it? Well, a goodly crowd is here, so we might as well start the festivities with the Town Hall Bulletin. Now, Hodge White, the first grocer to ever suggest buying a bottle of pop for Father's Day, has a special announcement. Hodge is calling your attention to his new flea service, folks. Now, Hodge says if you're troubled with fleas around the house, don't mess around with these little pests yourself. Try Hodge's flea service. Now, here's how the flea service works, folks. First, you buy a can of Hodge's new flea powder, Scram Flea. Spread it around your rooms. The fleas inhale the powder, choke up, and scram out of the house to get air. Hodge has a big St. Bernard dog waiting at your door, folks. The fleas board the St. Bernard from force of habit. The dog runs back to the store. Hodge curry combs and fumigates him, and in no time at all, that St. Bernard is spick and span, ready for another load. So much for Scram Flea at the new service and putting it on the dog around the square. And now for the town... You didn't have to run up when I said dog, Harry. It doesn't come to... And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
You bet, Fred.
Is it coming down?
It's down.
I know. You say, I bet. You're inferring that I wager. You said nothing about the curtain. Now, is it down or is it up?
Well, it's down.
Oh, thank you.
Everything's all right.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing. Monk is just the craziest people. Green. You didn't know I could do dialects, did you? Greenville, Texas, the first June bride to be married by telephone, has a ceremony performed through cooperation of local telephone service at Greenville, Texas. In a unique long-distance wedding, the bride, a resident of San Antonio, and the groom, living at Greenville, were married by a minister who read the rites over the telephone from York, Pennsylvania. Town Hall News, sensing element of danger in telephone weddings, shows what may happen if toll call nuptials become popular. The scene, a parson's study. The parson picks up the phone.
Hello, operator.
Number, please.
This is Parson Bind, operator.
Yes, Parson.
I'm about to officiate at that telephone wedding. Is everything ready?
Yes, Parson. The telephone facilities are at your service.
Thank you. I'll call the groom first.
His number, please.
Walla Walla 8282.
Double Walla 8282. I will ring your party.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Is Waldo Sneed there?
No one is here.
Well, is this...
This is the U.S. Senate, mister. We're closed for the season.
Operator, operator.
Number, please.
I want Walla Walla.
You were connected with a Washington operator.
Well, that was Washington, D.C.
D.C., as in Democratic clam bake.
No, operator, I'm nonpartisan.
I'm calling Patterson. Hold the line, please.
No, no, not Patterson. I want Walla Walla 8282.
Excuse it, please.
Excuse what, operator?
I hiccuped. It's them scallions. I'm ringing Walla Walla 8282.
Thank you.
Here is your party.
Hello, 8282.
8-2-1. This ain't no lunch wagon.
Is this Walla Walla?
Hey, quit double talking, bud. Are you calling here or ain't you?
Who am I talking to?
To yourself, bud. I'm hanging up.
Operator!
Your line has been busy. Walla Walla is waiting.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
This is Parson Bind. Is Waldo Sneed there?
Waldo speaking, Parson. Are you ready for the wedding?
Yes, Waldo. You hold the line and I'll call the bride.
She's Lily Guppy, Dallas 4444.
Yes, Waldo. Yes, I'll get her. Hello? Hello?
Happy birthday to you.
What?
Happy birthday to you.
You're on a busy line, madam.
Postal telegraph, singagram for Nils P. Swenson.
Hey, get off the line, lady. I'm getting married.
Here comes the bride.
I am handling this wedding, madam.
Postal rates are cheaper.
Oh, operator, operator.
Hello, Parson.
Oh, there you are, Waldo. Now hold the line, and when I get the bride, I shall read the ceremony.
What do I say, Parson?
When I say, do you take this woman, you say, I do.
I do. I must remember.
That's right. Now hold on, I'll get the bride. Operator.
Excuse it, please.
But I...
It's them scallions again.
Oh.
Number, please.
I don't...
Not yet, Waldo.
Oh.
Number, please.
I want Dallas 4444.
Four, as in Mark's brothers?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Not yet, Waldo.
Oh,
here is your party.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you ready for the wedding?
Wedding's over, brother.
What number is this?
This is Nahant, Massachusetts, brother. One wedding is plenty.
Oh, confound this service. Operator!
Dallas 4444 is ready.
Miss Lily Guppy?
Yes, is this you, Waldo?
No, I don't.
Not yet, Waldo.
Well, when do I?
I told you when I read the ceremony.
Is that you, Waldo?
This is your poopsie whoopsie Waldo, Lily.
All right, children. Now, do you, Lily, take this... Lily. Hello, Lily.
She must have been cut off, Parson.
Oh, hello, operator.
Hello.
Hello, is Lily there?
Lily, this is the YMCA, you cat.
Oh, I'll be... Operator.
Number, please.
Wake up, operator.
You don't think I'm asleep, do you?
I do.
Well, of all the
two. Quiet, please, quiet.
Who are you?
Prosecutor's office. Shh, I'm wiretapping.
Oh, I'll be... Operator, operator!
Hello, Carson.
Oh, there you are, Lily. Do you take...
I do too.
No, wait till I ask you. Now, do you, Waldo Sneed, take Lily Guppy to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
And do you, Lily Guppy?
Your party doesn't answer. Give me a chance, operator.
Yes, this is a wedding operator.
This is the Hat, Massachusetts. The wedding is over.
I do.
This is the prosecutor's office. I'm wiretapping.
I do.
Scoutmaster Jones.
I do.
Operator!
Number, please. I was cut off, operator, but I do.
Hold it, please.
This is Scoutmaster Jones.
You're on a cross wire. But I said I do, operator. I must have married the wrong party. Who did I marry?
The Boy Scouts of America.
Oh!
Washington, D.C. The New Deal officials plan to put 1,000 beavers on the federal payroll to provide $300,000 worth of range improvement and conservation work in Idaho. Town Hall News invites little-known politician to explain reason for government's sudden decision to subsidize beavers. Presenting then that authority on wind and beavers, Congressman Trundle Scat. Congressman Scat.
Thank you.
My friend! Our government is adding 1,000 beavers at a total cost of $8,000 to the federal payroll to start construction of a series of check dams in the state of Idaho. These beavers, my friend, will bring back prosperity.
Really? Well, how, Congressman?
I'll show you how. The Cosmopolitan Life Insurance charts show the beaver population increases 100% the first year and 150% thereafter. Therefore, in 10 years, at compound beaver interest, this country will have 2,903,300 working beaver.
Remarkable.
The working man will have a beaver in every pot. Two beavers in every garage. Beavers to the right of us. Beavers to the left of us.
Yes, I know.
Into the valley of beavers, round the 600. The beavers.
Just a
bubbling.
Yes, yeah. Well, I know, yes. I know that, Congressman. But how will these beavers save America?
The beaver will give a damn for his country.
Brooklyn, New York. After his 3-year absence from baseball, Babe Ruth returns to national pastime as coach for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Thousands turn out to welcome back baseball's most colorful idol as the Babe starts his new duties. The Babe.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect
to
meet...
Well, who are we meeting tonight, Fred?
Have you ever entered one of those newspaper puzzle contests, Harry? You know, one of those movie blindfold tests or fill in the last line and the limerick starting. There was an old maid in Duluth whose boyfriend had but one tooth. Haven't you?
No, I haven't, Fred, but I wonder what you have to do to win one of those $1 million prizes you read about in the newspaper.
We're going to find out in just a minute, Harry, for our guest tonight is the contest editor on the Boston Evening American. Although still in his 20s, he has brought joy and grief to millions of contestants through originating such puzzle games as movie mix-ups, seen in the movies, jigsaw, crossword, drawing, and cartoon puzzles, and others too humorous and numerous to mention. And so then, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet Boston's puzzle wizard, Mr. Art Moger. Good evening, Art.
Good evening, Fred.
Well, Art, how are things up home?
Things are always fine in Boston, Fred.
Yes, I guess if I'd had any sense years ago, I'd have stayed home and kept my job in the library. Who knows? Today I might be in full charge of the Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 6, Coleb to Damascus, if I'd have watched it.
You've done all right, Fred. Don't let them kid you.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, Art. You didn't go to the High School of Commerce, did you?
No, Fred, I went to English High.
Well, I guess they probably tore down the High School of Commerce after I got out of there.
No, as a matter of fact, the school's still there, Fred.
Wait a minute. Don't talk on our laughs, you know. Let's get this straightened out right away.
Why don't they?
Well, I know, but the laugh is apt to crop up here, and we've got to be prepared, all right? I'll go back and give you that other line. Perhaps it's sunk in by now. Maybe we'll get a laugh out of it. I guess they tore down the High School of Commerce after I got out of there.
I don't hear it.
Well, you were right the first time.
The school's still there, Fred. As a matter of fact, they may be expecting you back again.
Yes, I left an algebra problem on the blackboard there back in...
There's a laughing
wind. 1911. Mr. Downey may be waiting for me to come back and either finish that problem or rub it off.
Yes, there's a rumor around that you and Ponzi have some unfinished business in Boston.
Ponzi and I have some... I remember Ponzi. He ran a puzzle business in Boston for a time, didn't he? But tell me, Odd, how did you get into this odd profession?
Well, it started out as sort of a hobby, Fred. I used to make up puzzles for my own amazement, and after a while, I began putting out puzzle pictures in booklet form.
And this ultimately led to your contest editing position on the Boston American?
That's right, Fred.
I understand that the prize contest business is a large-scale enterprise today.
It certainly is. The prizes awarded throughout the country in contests this year will total around $10
million. $10 million? What am I doing here? Wait till I get a pencil and tear the top off of Uncle Jim. I'm getting in on this.
Most people feel the same way, Fred. In 3,000 contests held in 1 year recently, over 100 million entries were received.
Yes, it's human nature to want to get something for nothing. Of course, in the Irish sweepstakes, most people get nothing for something. But what are the most popular types of contests, Art?
Well, they vary, Fred. For instance, a few years ago, crossword puzzles were the rage.
And what type of contest is the most popular today?
Well, the ones involving movie and radio stars.
Well, was that a movie contest you just finished in the Boston American?
It was, Fred. The readers were given a still picture from a recent film, and all they had to do was name the movie containing the scene.
And I imagine, to make the contest more difficult, you used scenes from some of the more obscure pictures.
Oh, I can't divulge trade secrets here, Fred.
Now, if you're going to... There was a G in that DeVoe. If you're going to use shots from little... Now, wait a minute, Uncle Jim. You're upsetting the two of us here. That's because...
His finger over the G.
You're putting his finger over the consonants there. Now, watch that, Jim. Just hold the thing on the side there, if you will. Now, if you're going to use shots from little-known pictures in your next contest, Art, you know I made a picture last year.
Yeah, Uncle Jim just told me. He said it was called Sally, Irene, and Mary.
Well, Uncle Jim is the one who saw it, you know. He was more apt to know. Now, you put a scene from that picture in one of your contests, and I guarantee you, Art, no one will ever identify it.
Say, didn't your picture play in theaters?
In a few towns, yes. But in most places, they booked it into little black wagons that ran around the streets. If you wanted to see the picture, you had to wait on a street corner until a fella drove up and said, psst, hey, buddy. But, enough about my picture vehicles, Art. Tell me, are those puzzle contests always conducted on the level?
Absolutely, Fred.
You know, so many people are suspicious of contests. I think we ought to get things straightened out. Now, what steps do you take to make sure that contestants get a square deal?
Well, we had a staff of 26 girls who did nothing but check the answers. And each set of answers was checked 5 times by 5 different girls.
Well, you can't be much fairer than that. I imagine the prize money... often alters the lives of the winning contestant.
Many times it does, Fred. In one contest last year, an engaged couple, working separately, won the first 2 prizes. The girl won $10,000 and the boy $2,500 in cash.
And their first baby was born with an entry blank in his hand?
I wouldn't know, Fred.
What did the... Uncle Jim's got a hangnail that covers over those words. I just noticed that. Well, what did the... What did the couple do with the money, Art?
They got married, Fred, and they took a trip around the world. When they came back, the boy entered another contest and won $1,000 cash prize.
It might have been cheaper for the publishers to hand the newspaper over to this couple and forget the whole hectic 5-star business.
You know, the newspapers don't mind paying out these prizes, Fred. Actually, the prize money represents only about 20% of the contest expense.
Well, what eats up the other 80%? Aspirin bills for the contest editor?
Well, partly, but most of the money goes out for publicity, advertising, and the help required to handle the answers.
Say, in the case of the couple who won all of that money, wouldn't they be tempted to drop everything and make a business of entering contests?
You know, a great many people do.
Uh-huh.
There are about 50,000 professional contestants in this country now.
50,000 professionals? Well, as the man said when he picked up Anthony Advers, that's a lot of pros. Have you, Have you found that these professionals win most of the first prizes in the big contest?
No, Fred. The amateurs manage to win their share, too.
Now, what about those agencies that sell sets of answers to amateur contestants? Are their solutions generally correct?
Well, in my last contest, four of these agencies were selling answers.
Were their answers 100%?
No, each list had one or more major mistakes.
Then you feel that the winners of your bigger prizes generally work out the solutions on their own?
Unquestionably.
Well, thanks a lot, Art, for your little cook's tour around the world of puzzles. Now, there's just one more thing I'd like to ask you before you go.
Yes, Fred.
As a professional tinker in brain teasers, what do you consider the most complicated puzzle ever devised by man?
Oh, that's easy, Fred. The income tax.
The income tax?
That's one blank nobody has ever been able to fill out correctly.
You're telling me I am seeing a man tomorrow, huh?
Condolences, Fred, and good night.
And good night. I didn't like your accent there. And thank you, Art Moger. The Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys catch up with an old request to repeat Bob McChimsey's version of Jonah and the Whale.
Jonah was a man, got a word from the Lord to go and preach the gospel to a simple land. But he got on a ship and he tried to get away, and he ran into a storm in the middle of the sea.
Now the Lord, he made the waves just to roll so high.
The ship began to sink and they all began to cry. So they pulled old Jonah out of the hold and they chunked him in the water just to lighten up the load.
Now the Lord made a whale long and wide.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
Yeah, and he swallowed up Jonah fair and wide.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Jonah started to pray in the belly of the whale, Lord.
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, Lord,
wasn't that a fish?
Jonah must have been a bad man.
He must have been a sinner. Lord, Lord, Lord.
Because when the whale got him down, he didn't like his dinner.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
Well, he swam around the ocean, sick as he could be. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? And after 3 days,
whoop, he had to set him free.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Righteous man.
Then the people quit the sins when they heard him in the town.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? So when you hear the call,
don't you turn the gospel down.
Lord, 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 wasn't that a fish? Yes, Lord.
There's an old saying that eavesdroppers seldom hear good of themselves. But yesterday, while catching up with my own eavesdrooping, I did all right. For I caught this snatch of dialogue between a young fellow and his sister that turned out to be as nice a tribute to the old town hall as we could hope to catch. Now, see if you don't think so.
Say, Bill, have you seen the new girl who just moved in across the street?
Yeah, I saw her in the movies last night. Gee, she's a honey.
What'd she have on?
Huh? Oh, kind of dark dress with a thing around the neck and a dark hat.
Why, that's as good as a portrait. What's she look like? Is she a blonde?
Well, yeah. No, not exactly. She...
I see. Could you tell me if she has a nose and the usual number of eyes?
Jesus, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. She has got a smile. Oh, boy, I noticed that all right. She has a smile like one of those ads for Ipana toothpaste. And I'll bet she uses it, too.
And I'll bet he's right. Because a smile that's admired is the very kind of a smile anyone can hope to have who uses Ipana toothpaste and massage. For in this day and age, gums as well as teeth need special care. And Ipana toothpaste is especially made, when used with massage, to benefit both, gums as well as teeth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if your gums are tender because the soft foods you eat have robbed them of exercise, and if your teeth haven't the brightness and sparkle that make for attractiveness, do what thousands of men and women are doing every day.
Buy a tube of Ipana toothpaste from your druggist. And every time you brush your teeth, put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or on one of our new double-duty toothbrushes and massage it on your gums.
When you follow the advice of the many dentists who recommend that, ladies and gentlemen, you help awaken your gums to a new firmness and your teeth to a new cleanness and brightness. So make up your mind right now to have a smile you can be proud of. Start using Ipana and massage tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately following a brief pause for your station identification.
Peter Van Steeden and his Ipana Fusiliers have just played A Little Bit Later On, A Little Bit Just Ahead. Now, on June 28th, 29th, and 30th, the Village Fair will be held in Greenwich Village, folks. There'll be sideshows, dancing in the streets, and guest celebrities wrapped in cellophane. Take a ride on the merry-go-round and move in the best circles at the Village Fair. Now, on Saturday night...
Now,
quiet. If that's somebody calling me, all I've got is a hot foot, and I'll raise you.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I said I was going to rob Peter to pay Paul. They didn't know I was going to borrow $2 from Van Steeden to give to Whiteman. Now, wait a minute. There's a joke in there. No. You're not dismissing this lightly. Van Steeden's name is Peter and Whiteman's name is Paul. I can't do any more than that. If it isn't Portland...
Yes, Mama sent me over...
Wait a minute, I didn't say if it isn't Portland. All right.
Mama sent me over to see how you looked.
How I looked? Why?
Well, Mama said your joke sounded tired last week.
Yeah?
She thought they might be catching it from you.
Catching it from... I'd like to give your mother a piece of my mind.
Oh, Mama wouldn't take the last piece.
Well, I am tired, Portland. As the fat man said when he closed the zipper on his windbreaker, I'm all in.
You ought to take a vacation. You look terrible, Mr.
Allen. What do you mean, terrible?
Those bags under your eyes are starting to get bags.
My bags are starting to get bags? What bags? My cheekbones are flabby, that's all.
Well, what's all the noise? What's going on?
Well, nothing's going on as usual, Harry. I'm taking it on the eyes. My chin is tired here.
I was just telling Mr. Allen he ought to take a vacation.
Well, yes, you don't look so good, Fred. Your face is sunk in.
You mean I look drawn?
Drawn like a cartoon, I'd say.
drawn like a cartoon.
Yeah, that's good, Forty.
I thought so.
Well, if I look like a cartoon, I suppose the next thing I'll be getting little Disney spells occasionally.
Vacation, Mr. Allen.
You mean after that last joke? Now listen, I'm no dunce.
Somebody call me?
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Porty. What's new, kids?
Oh,
kids. Boy, do you need glasses. Did you take a... Couldn't you get any other flavor trousers? You got the vanilla, didn't you? Did you take a good look at the... Calling us kids. Did you take a good look at that middle-aged spread that's setting in on Mr. Von Ziel on the downtown side?
Oh, wait. It's these pants, Fred. The pants.
Oh, the trousers.
Are they supposed to balloon like that in the back, Harry?
No, now, wait. These pants are made out of knapsack cloth, Porty. You know how knapsacks hang down.
Those knapsacks hanging down are... full of you, my fine pudgy.
Yeah, knapsack cloth doesn't wobble, Harry.
Well, all right. I might be a little baggy, Pete, you know, relaxing on my vacation.
Say, before you take up your slack, I'd like to borrow a little of that fat, Harry, for the summer.
You could use it, Alan. You certainly look good and scrawny.
Oh, now, wait. I don't look so bad.
You'd have a tough time talking your way out of a morgue.
Well, there you are, Fred. I told you.
I had an uncle who didn't look half as bad as you do, Alan.
Yeah, so what?
They buried him.
Now, look, I feel all right. That's the main thing.
No, not with those circles under your eyes, Fred.
What circles? My epidermis is wavy, that's all.
Say, your eyes look like stone somebody threw in a river of skin, Mr. Allen.
Somebody threw? Well, now, look, I'm going away after next week's program.
Now, look, that's right, but you ought to go to the country.
Who wants the country?
You ought to go to the seashore.
Who wants the seashore?
You can have your choice, Mr. Allen. I've got two hotel men coming.
I don't want any.
Now, wait, that must be the hotel men now, Fred. Mm-hmm.
Harry, a coincidence of such magnitude could only happen on a program like this. Come in.
This could be the place.
Is this the town hall, folks?
Come in, boys.
And then, so where is the prospect? I'm getting down to business.
What's that unfair practice, Katz?
That piping down, Mr. High Pressure.
Quiet before I pull that derby down over your hips.
Yeah, you fool.
Now, wait. Now, look. Before I start my mayhem daily double... What is this?
Well, Mr. Katz and Mr. Benz want to see about your vacation, Mr. Allen.
Yeah?
Taking my advice, and you are coming to the mountains, border.
What you need is some good salt air, Allen.
Now, look, I know
if
what...
If you are wanting the best, you are checking in at mine resort. Katz's Whispering Pines.
Katz's Whispering Pines?
Put cheese in the rooms in that joint, and you got a mountain mousetrap.
Why, Katz, you are finding rats? I'm laughing.
If you want class, Alan, I'm running a seashore rendezvous to Seagull Rest.
Confidentially, boarder. In Seagull Rest, the first two floors is reserved for the tide.
Now, you're not going to try to tell me that the house detective has webbed feet.
What else?
That's a lie, Katz.
Only one night I am stopping by the Seagull Rest.
What happened, Mr. Katz?
In the morning, I am waking. Flounders is pushing me out of the bed.
Well, what do you expect in an inside room? Tuna fish?
Well, I don't know, boys.
Look, by Katz's Whispering Pines, you are leading the life of the Lone Ranger.
What, Lone Ranger? You can't even find silver on the table.
Now, I've got to have something high class, boy.
Well, now you're talking up my alley, Borgie. By Katz's Whispering Pines, one is meeting only the whipped cream of society. You are not getting in with that dialect.
Who is your social director, Mr. Katz?
I personally am mine host and part-time buffoon.
Listen, Alan, if you like butter with your meals, here's my card.
Don't you serve butter, Mr. Katz?
Well, my back is turned during meals. Who knows what I'm serving?
Listen, with the food we're serving, we gotta jack up the guests out of their chairs after eating.
Listen, by Katz's Whispering Pines, you are only smelling the kitchen, and you are already letting out the belt.
I don't believe it. You can't.
Yeah.
What are your rates, Mr. Katz?
Well, if you are sleeping country style, 8 guests to a room, it is $2 daily. With sheets, of course, I am charging extra.
Well, you don't think I'm sleeping in a room with 8 strangers.
Strangers, you say. Before you are getting into bed, each guest you are meeting personally.
Well, that's different. Certainly. Well, you didn't explain it.
What are your rates, Mr. Benz?
Why, at Seagull Rest, I'm renting a single room with combination pillow and life preserver for 6 bits. By the week, it's cheaper.
Is the fishing handy?
You fish right out of your window. There's a rope in every room. Combination fire escape and fishing line.
Listen, coming to catch his whispering pines, Barter.
Come to the seagull rest, chump.
Now, wait.
Gosh, it's hard to decide, isn't it, Mr. Rabbit?
No, it's very easy to decide.
So what's the answer?
Here's my answer, boys. Portland.
Tally. Hello.
And now the Merry Max, having turned over a musical leaf, sing for you down by the old mill stream.
Down by the old mill stream, where I first met you, with your eyes so blue, dressed in gingham too, and it was then
loudspeakers are learning that the new art form in radio is sound. So tonight, Town Hall presents its own cavalcade of sound. It begins in early morning when the birds are sounding their eggs. An alarm clock goes off. And the man gets up and comes down to breakfast. But he's grouchy and ill-tempered. So when he starts off to work, this music matches his mood. Ah, but how different that whole picture would be if he would only listen to this sound, the sound of Harry Von Zell's voice. For Harry says,
whenever you start the day off feeling grouchy and under par, remember a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica helps you feel your best again quickly. Because the two things that usually cause a sluggish, headachy feeling, ladies and gentlemen, are the two very things Sal Hepatica is especially made to get after. Accumulated wastes and gastric acidity. Realize that now, ladies and gentlemen, and get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tomorrow. And the next time you need a laxative, put 2 teaspoonfuls in a glass of water and drink it. When you see how soon your grouch is gone, your head is clearer and your pep is back, you'll know why so many physicians recommend Sal Hepatica. Why millions of people have found it to be an ideal laxative. Then the music to match your mood will be... Yes, sir, you'll feel like dancing, as you will now with Peter Van Steeden playing There's Honey on the Moon tonight.
Come along and let's taste it,
and it ought for you. There's honey on the moon tonight, though a little off season.
It is there for a reason.
For a dream to come true. We don't need a boat, a motor car, or a bus. Just any old band in any old bar is made to order for us. There's honey on the moon tonight, and I'm out to enjoy it.
On a night to enjoy it.
With a honey like you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Mighty Allen Art Players. Tonight, they present another slice of Hollywood life called The Studio's Predicament, or The Villain Was Killed in Every Picture. He was dying to make a living. Overture, Peter.
Titanic Pictures, happy grossing. Oh, sorry, Mr. Allen's tied up in a knot right now. No, not in conference. His osteopath is working on him. Yes, Mr. Allen's been having trouble making both ends meet. Well, I'll tell him goodbye.
Oh, good morning, Miss Smith. Gad, that osteopath is a wonder worker. Every nerve is on tiptoe.
Did he give you the same routine?
No. Today he ad-libbed some new osteopathic twists. For the last 10 minutes on the table, I was in conference with the end of my spine. Ah, one ought to know to get one, sir. Get to know oneself, Misfit. Any messages?
This memo just came up from the title department.
Oh, let me see a memo. Yes, a memo. Secrets of a Chorus Girl, formerly titled Mad Mad, formerly titled Western Mall, formerly titled Scavenger's Bride, has now been changed to Mr. Moto Lays an Egg. Any exhibitors' reports today?
Yes, here.
Let me see. What's this first one? Breadcrumb, Iowa. Cleaned up on your last epic, Love on the Cuff, I let people in free. Started showing the picture and charged a quarter to get out. In 10 minutes, the street was playing to standing room only. Why, who does he think he is, that
tramp? What's that next one?
This second one? Turtleneck, Texas. Kindly ship future films in dry ice. Your last two pictures arrived gamey.
The Board of Health will raid this studio yet.
Now, this last one is Drumstick, Nevada. Your last picture, Stevedore Sweethearts, was so bad, the receivers are giving me back the theater.
If you keep making pictures, there's going to be a lot of garages around the country with organs in them.
Titanic will pull through, Miss Fitz. My new picture, After the Robin Hood with Basil Ragbone, will make a fortune.
Yes, Ragbone's the most popular villain since Lon Chaney.
Why, Jimmy Fiddler heard a rumor that Basil Ragbone was making a new picture and gave the rumor 3 bells. Now, who is this?
It's the music director for your newsreels.
Oh, yes. Korn, my vice president in charge of fanfare. Show him in.
Yes, sir. F.A., I'll see you, Mr. Korn.
Okay. Say, I've got it, F.A., I've got it.
You've perfected that new fanfare for Titanic newsreels?
Yeah, you bet it's dynamite, F.A. Listen to this. How do you like that?
That Korn is a tin zephyr.
Oh.
Titanic newsreels demand something legato, but not too affettuoso.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll work along those lines. Let me see. No, that isn't it.
Titanic newsreels have got to open with a din, Misfit. Take a cable to Daryl Zanuck, London, England.
Yes, sir.
Dear Daryl, signed F.A. Get that right off.
You haven't said anything.
Zanuck hasn't time to read cables, Misfit. Send it collect.
Yes, sir.
Cable cramp for Mr. Allen.
Right here, boy. Dear Allen, thanks for your cable. Regards from Neville, signed Daryl Zanuck.
He answered your cable before you sent it.
Gad, the foresight of the man. Sheer genius. Who is this?
Your Russian star, Misha Bumchek.
Oh, yes. I signed Misha Bumchek to play the scurvy butler part in my Russian classic, Charlie Chan at Nizhny Novgorod. I can give Bumchek 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. F.A. can give you 3 minutes.
2 minutes is plenty for what I am calling F.A.
What is the trouble, Misha?
Dog of a dog you are, you dog, you.
Here. Save your Slavic invective for the salt mines, Bumchek.
Salt mines, you say? 20 years I am with the Moscow Art Theater, right?
Right.
Right. You are bringing Misha Bumchek from Moscow to play Russian character parts, right?
Right.
Right. My contract is reading I am playing a butler, a rat, right?
Right.
Right. Today, I am finally getting my part.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Give a listen to these lines Misha Bombcheck is reading.
Very well, very well. Read.
Hi, old Colonel Crabtree. I'm telling you, old Colonel, Isaac Vaughn to fight for the sooth to the last drop of my Dixie blood. Who can read in it? It's a dialect.
Let me see that script, Bombcheck.
Look on it. Is Misha Bombcheck playing a rat butler?
Dad, it's Rhett Butler. The casting office is boring from within.
And Misha Bombcheck is boring from without. You want I shall resign verbally or right?
Right.
Right. Booy on Hollywood and especially on you. Right?
Right.
Right.
Right. What am I saying? Why, that alien upstart, he's through.
He quit, didn't he?
What he did doesn't matter, Misfit. Bombcheck is through.
I got it this time, F.A. Come in, Phil.
Okay, Mr.
Now, don't dawdle, Corn. Have you built up that new fanfare?
Have I? I'm using two trumpets. Read off the newsreel over there. I'll show you how it sounds.
All right. Titanic News presents... No, no, no.
No?
No, Corn. It sounds like a used car calling its mate.
Well, we gave it everything, F.A.
That fanfare has got to be stepped up, Corn.
Titanic demands a fanfare with knobs on it.
Well, I'll get back to the fanfare lab. Come on, Phil. Let me see that. No.
No, it isn't it. Gad, what a day. What is that memo?
Marco Polo isn't doing so well in the small town.
It's the title. Polo isn't understood out of town. I'll change it to Marco Baseball.
Anything else?
Yes, call up Walt Disney and borrow a dwarf.
Are you making a midget masterpiece?
No, a collar button rolled under my dresser this morning. I can use a dwarf. Send a dwarf over medium. Hello, F.A. speaking. This is after the Robin Hood set. You're having trouble with Basil Ragbone? Give Ragbone anything he wants, even a hank of hair. He's my biggest star. Okay.
You certainly take plenty from that male prima donna.
I've got to toady to Ragbone. He's the only box office bet Titanic has. Take a note, Misfit.
Okay.
My follow-up picture on Coconut Grove will be Banana Lane. A natural.
Say, I finally got that fanfare, F.A.
Yes, Corn, let me hear it.
I'm using three trumpets. Come in, fellas.
Okay, Mr. Corn.
I have got to have volume, Corn.
Oh, boy, this'll sound like somebody's put a mouthpiece on the Holland Tunnel and is blowing through from the Jersey side.
You said it, Mr. Corn.
Good. I'll give you fellas that newsreel opening again.
Yeah, get ready, fellas.
Okay, Mr. Corn.
Ready? Titanic News presents... No, it lacks something, Corn.
Well, now, wait a minute. I was thinking of adding this to the finish, F.A. Listen. How's that?
By dad, you've got the ingredients, Corn. But will music license permit putting that shot right in the fanfare?
Well, it's revolutionary, but I'll try it.
Good. Now let us hear how it sounds. Titanic News presents... That is definitely it, Corn. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. Go on, boys. Let's go.
Gad, what a fanfare.
But what's that shot for?
Half of the audiences are asleep in our movie theaters today. Titanic newsreels will wake them up.
Oh.
Yes, things are looking up for Titanic, Misfit.
You mean the company's flat on its back.
Why, with this new fanfare, that frog in your throat, and Basil Ragbone's finishing after the Robin Hood, Titanic's goose, while not hanging high, is at least gaining altitude.
F.A., oh, F.A.
Yes, La Cava.
I am stymied, F.A.
You, my ace director, Gregory La Cava. Why aren't you shooting after the Robin Hood?
I can't.
You can't?
No. Well, we came to the big duel scene between Flint and Basil Ragbone.
Well, just let Ragbone die again, and we've got a million-dollar picture.
Well, that's just the trouble. Ragbone refuses to be killed.
This is contractual stubbornness. La Cava, Ragbone has got to be killed. That's what America is paying to see.
I told him that.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and he said I could go to the devil in Technicolor.
In Technicolor?
Yes. Yes, and he rumpled my beret.
Rumpled your beret? Uh-huh. The pink one?
Yes.
He has gone too far, LaCava. Buzz for Ragbone, Miss Fitz.
Yes, sir.
If Ragbone doesn't lose this duel, after the Robin Hood is ruined.
And after Titanic is ruined, LaCava, I'll give that double-crossing corpse betrayer a piece of my mind. Where is that stuffed doublet?
You hailed me from the set, F.A.?
Yes, Ragbone.
LaCava here reports you refused to let Robin Hood kill you.
Yes, I'm through being the underdog, F.A.
Now, see here.
I was thrown over a cliff in the Plainsman. I was machine-gunned and smiling through.
Yes, a while.
I was stabbed and dead-ended and disintegrated in Flash Gordon.
A sensation.
I'm through being a pushover for the hero.
But that is exactly what Ragbone fans love.
Well, it's gone too far, F.A. My picture public has dumped me a card.
Yes.
I refuse to lose to Robin Hood, and that's final.
If you don't die in this picture, Titanic is through.
Yes, and until I win a fight, Basil Ragbone is through. I definitely refuse to act.
Why, you built up extra, win a fight. You can't lick your weight in antique dust.
Control your derogatives, F.A.
You're inviting trouble, F.A.
No sacrifice is too great for the organization, Miss Fitz. Why, you stuffed ham.
Why,
you what? You can't hit hard enough to dent the top of a marshmallow float.
Don't get me riled, F.A. I might take a punch at you.
He'll do it, F.A.
No sacrifice is too great for the organization, Miss Fitz. Why, you sissy in brute's regalia. Go ahead, belabor me. Punch me, I dare you.
That's done it, I will. Take this.
Oh.
Good heavens, you've knocked out F.A.
Oh, I've done it. After 10 years and pictures, Basil Ragbone has come through.
And now, will you finish after the Robin Hood?
Yes. With my ego restored, Basil Ragbone will continue to die as per contract for old Titanic.
Good, good. Get back on the set.
Oh, goody. I want to fight.
Are you all right, F.A.?
Oh, good heavens, Basil Ragbone knocked all his teeth out.
Oh, you're a genius, F.A. You got Ragbone to hit you so he could win a fight. Look, how do you feel with all your teeth out, Chief?
No sacrifice is too great for the organ of fight.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Town Hall Tonight, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC Red Network broadcast live from June 22nd, 1938. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.